Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. And there's a few verses here I'd like to read, and a few more, and a few more, and then another chapter, and a few more, but we'll get there. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it whom I have sold you to? Behold, for your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We're so grateful that we have a word from heaven. We can open a Bible anytime we want and get a word from heaven. Turn on the TV and get a word from Dr. Phil, I suppose. We can look at other places, maybe Nostradamus or something, but I'm sorry, they just don't have it. We have a word from God, a word from heaven. Lord, I'm asking that you'd help me to preach so that this word from heaven, which is not mine, it's your word, Lord, that it do something in the heart. And if you'll do that, then I'll be a happy man. If you'll touch the hearts. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've said a number of times in my sermons in the Old Testament that the story of Israel is one of sadness and what could have been. And I don't have time to give an overview, but God gave promises to Abraham. God redeemed his people from Egyptian bondage, brought them to the Red Sea, showed them the land of promise, brought them into the land of promise, ran out all the other inhabitants of the land. But all through this, you find that God's people said, "Yeah, that sounds good, but we want to go our own way." I've harped on these things, I guess, incessantly. I've talked about perhaps the captivity in Babylon, where because of idolatry and stubbornness, God had enough and said, "Guess what? Foreign invader will come and take every last one of you, all except a few, I suppose, carry you off to Babylon, which is in Iraq." And they stayed for 70 years, and there were waves going and waves coming back, but each wave stayed about 70 years. This was the promised land. This was Israel, the Holy Land, etc., Jerusalem, where God put his house and all of that stuff, but he carted them off because, again, of idolatry or worshiping other gods and rebellion. And this verse I read, you know, God made promises and etc., but if you read the book of Hosea, it talks of God divorcing Israel and then marrying her back. And that has to do with a lot of prophecy and things that are yet to come in the millennium and what have you. But he says that all of these things happen not because God wanted to cast away his people, but that God's people themselves, they had other plans, other agendas. Instead of enjoying all the blessings of God, they didn't want. Stupid in my opinion, but you know, and I'm going to get to it, the church does largely the same thing. But he says, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? That's the title of this sermon. The Jews did this, they did that, and again, the church, rebellion and what have you. The Jews lost again and again and again. All the promises, all the things that God did, they threw it away. But God's hand is not shortened. He can still redeem. He still has power to deliver. You know, in the church, we too have gotten into a form of idolatry. We've got the purpose-driven and seeker-sensitive hocus-pocus, honestly. Oh, and by the way, if you were ever wanting to get mad at me, this is the sermon to do it in. But Brother Kelly, you can't say that in the pulpit. Or Brother Kelly, you can't put that on the radio. Well, I am, and I did. Purpose-driven, a lot of books, seeker-sensitive. It's slick marketing and trickery. Bill Hybels. Now, everybody knows Rick Warren, his books, etc. Rick Warren stole his thesis from Bill Hybels. That's a fact. It's the same retread stuff. But Bill Hybels, the guy that came up with this 30, 40, however many decades ago, however many years ago, he admitted a couple of years ago that his methods didn't work. All of this research, all of this marketing, and all of this stuff, many people came to church. Many people came to all the different churches that they would co-opt. But he realized that there was no real discipleship. And in his admitting, hey, you know, this don't work, he didn't know the right thing to do. In my opinion, it's staring right in front of his face, but he didn't know the right thing to do. But he was sure that his methods that he had been pushing for decades were wrong. Get mad at me if you want, but that's his own words. Seed faith. Prosperity, name it and claim it, what have you, whatever you know this thing by. The gospel of greed, really. That's wrong. I'm sorry, it's wrong. Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. The church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 17 through 19, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee, God says, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be truly rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed with righteousness, he says. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. It's a rebuke, but God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. All of this money, 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 money cometh and your money goeth. Sorry. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's the worship of, what did he say? You can't serve God and mammon. God is not a slot machine. He's not. There's not any law that God has to follow that if you give 100, God's got to give 10,000. Sorry, it's wrong. I've said it before. We need to give to the Lord. We need to pay our tithe. That's what God says we ought to do. Pay 10% of our income to your local church. We should give offerings besides. I can walk back there and read the little bulletin board we have about the different missionaries that would have you, the different people that we support. You go to Brother May's church, he's got more of them that their church supports. We need to be concerned about preaching the gospel. But greed, I'm sorry, greed is just not where it's at. Then there's the Toronto blessing. Man, I guess I'm getting old. The Pensacola so-called revival, which was Toronto just brought down to Pensacola. The Assemblies of God had to have it, I suppose. Then later on, the Lakeland fiasco with Todd Bentley. And now it's in Mobile, they tell me. You know, we in the church accept and listen to and pamper people like Benny Hinn, other patently false teachers. We sit on the sofa watching every day, and we keep sending them money. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. You know, you read the Gospels, that's just not what the Bible is all about. But here in starting at verse 4, and really this is one of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible. He says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned." Look at that. God supernaturally gave the prophet, and will give us if we trust him, the tongue of the learned. You know, I never finished college. Many preachers never went to college. Don't have to be a preacher. You could be a Sunday school teacher. You could just be somebody that sits in the pew and once in a while goes out witnessing or something. God can give you a word in season for him that is weary. You know, there's an awful lot of things going around, awful lot of troubles. People losing their houses, losing their jobs, losing their marriages, losing everything. Kid on drugs or whatever the case. People are hurting. And God can use you. God can use me. God can use anyone that trusts and submits to the Lord to know what to say. To know what to say at the right time. To be able to minister to that person. But it says, "He waketh morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned." You know, we ought to pray every day. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray whenever you feel like, but many people wake up in the morning and pray. The prophet here says that God woke him up every morning to pray and taught him how to hear as the learned, taught him the things of God. David, when he was following those sheep in his early years as a shepherd, chasing after the one that went that way and fighting off the lion and bear or whatever, he spent time singing to the Lord. We have a lot of his songs, they're called psalms, that he wrote. And they're wonderful. There's a lot of theology, a lot of doctrine, an evidence of trusting in God and depending upon God and communing with God and just spending time with God. You have to spend time with the Lord in the Word of God and in prayer and in listening to good sermons and a good church and what have you. You have to grow in the kingdom. You have to desire to grow. There has to be a hunger in your heart, or God won't really show you anything. But again, what I said in the beginning, that there are things that Israel had and threw away. There are things that the church had and we've thrown away. We can read in the book of Acts that Peter's shadow had the power to heal the sick. He walked on his way to church, and I don't know if they had sidewalks back then. Let's say that they did. They set the people in wheelchairs and cripples and whatever, the blind people or whatever, on the sidewalk and said, "You stay right here. Peter's going to go to church, and at 9 o'clock sun's going to hit. Cast a shadow, and his shadow will heal you." Paul, I think it was, that they took handkerchiefs from him. He'd stick one in his pocket, and they'd take it and go to wherever it was, 20 miles away, to where the guy was laid up in bed, and lay it on him, and what do you know? He was healed. Of course, we've taken that and made a mockery of it. Prayer cloths in every envelope you get in the mailbox, it's hocus pocus now. Remember the prophet Elisha, he died. There was somebody that was sick or dead or whatever the case was, they threw him in the grave, and what do you know? A dead prophet's bones still had enough power to raise the dead and heal the sick. God is able to do it. Jesus still walks on the water, and he can calm your storms if you trust him. What the church lost. You know, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved. You read a couple of chapters over, 5,000 people got saved. I want you to notice I'm stepping out from behind the pulpit. Ain't it great? I go this side too. But I'm scared to go down there. It might get hurt. The things that Jesus did in the Gospels, you read in the book of Acts, the apostles did. Well, they were the apostles. They were special. Yeah, I know. But you know, in this country, we had the Great Awakening. To where in big cities like New York and Chicago, and whatever, when lunchtime came, the whistle sounded or whatever, and people went outside on the streets. They didn't eat lunch. They just prayed and sang or whatever. For months this went on. People repenting. So yeah, it happened back in the book of Acts, but it also happened here in America not all that long ago. 150 years or whatever the date is. We can read of missionary accounts of the great things that God did in Africa and India and China and South America and whatever. God still moves if we'll trust him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Well, you don't understand, brother. I mean, today, you know, people, they're all about themselves, and everybody that's got any kind of power to heal, it's about them. Well, didn't you know? Well, yeah, but didn't you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he said, "For we preach not ourselves. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Oh yeah, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 6, he said, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Peter? Nope. In the name of my denomination? Nope. Jesus." That's right, Jesus. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And it says all the people saw him and knew who he was, and he was that beggar laying there, couldn't walk, couldn't stand, couldn't do nothing but moan and pull out his little cup or whatever. And it says, "And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or look upon us so earnestly, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk." It's not about us. It's not about my denomination or yours or somebody on TV. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. It's our job, our God-given command to preach the gospel and to win the lost before it's too late. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We got to pray and read the Bible, study it, and teach it. Any way we can. I'm in the pulpit. Maybe you again can say something to somebody while you're standing out in Walmart waiting to check out. You can minister the word, but so you ought to read it yourself too. Get to know it. Today's the day for enemies. You know, there are good translations and bad translations. I strongly recommend the King James. There are some I strongly recommend you not read. There are paraphrases and people that have some sort of agenda, and some of them take out any reference to male or female and make it gender inclusive or whatever. I'm sorry, that's not going to help you. God made Adam and Eve, not a Shem. And God is a man, not a woman.
So holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song, it's gonna rise to thee. Holy, holy, so holy. You are merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Though it hides.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.